In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Monday morning, rolling along. From my robe to the microphone, we move on. Season's over.
Yes, it is. There's no question about it. This season is done. It is cooked. It is over. And we can start looking forward to the offseason now in Kansas City.
How would Robin Carrington describe this season?
Washed. Oh. Yeah, this definitely.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, Carrington. I think this season is washed. I agree, Rob. This season is washed. Holy cow, is this season washed.
Yeah, they'd be right this time.
Yeah, no. There's no may be right. It's over. And I will address the people that are still holding on for dear life. Stop. Go Christmas shopping. you know, do whatever you have to do this holiday season and don't fret over the Chiefs, because this season is 100% over. It is in the books. They showed us last night, from coaching to catching the football to everything in between. This season is 100% officially over, and there's nothing we can do to get it back. I mean, yesterday, last night, Dusty, I don't know how you thought about it, but again, last night, Chris Collinsworth even said it, the Stars are making big mistakes again in these games, and, you know, that's kind of where we were. Andy Reid last night takes center stage for, you know, I don't know what that coaching decision was. His worst coaching decision in the history of him coaching the Chiefs was last night, going for it on that fourth down play. And obviously we'll get into that as the morning goes along. But I'm here to tell you, me, Bob Fesco's telling you, this season is now 100% officially over. And I know there's some people like, oh, they can still, no, we're not going to worry about all these other teams doing what they have to do for this team to sneak in to the postseason. They've had their opportunities. They didn't capitalize on it. And here we sit 2 weeks to go before Christmas, and we're talking about next year already.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
71 days away from spring training, because I did get a bunch of those texts last night from friends. How many days till pitchers and catchers report? I'm like, I think it's 71 days until pitchers and catchers report. So they're eliminated from the West. We know that. And for all intents and purposes, eliminated from, you know, the postseason. There's like a 10% chance that they're going to make it into the playoffs. And Dusty and Mac, I mean, for me, I look at it and I go, this isn't about what other teams did. This is about what you didn't do over the course of the season, the inconsistencies, the drops, the penalties, the bad play calling. It all showed its ugly head yesterday. Missed field goal again by Harry. I mean, we had it all again, you know, in yesterday's game. But more importantly to me, it just really starts and ends with Andy Reid. I thought he was atrocious yesterday on that fourth down play. Made absolutely no sense whatsoever to go for it in that situation. You punted last week when you should have been going for it. This week when you should have been punting, you're going for it. You're screwed your defense, who was playing awesome in the second half. It's just a mess, and that's where we sit today, guys.
Yeah, it's just a season of ups and downs, more downs.
Yep.
Then there were ups. Obviously, it's 6-7 is the record for the Chiefs. Yep. Same record as the Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins.
That's right.
I don't know if they're necessarily the same teams, obviously, but they have the same record. Obviously, I think they have, what, like a 10 or 11% chance to make it if you want to hold on to hope, if you went out. I think the Colts, I mean, at least you didn't give your fan base that much hope.
Man.
And then you saw Daniel Jones.
I'd rather have this than what the Colts are going through, man. That sucks.
It's tough, man, because, you know, they'll tell you whether you do physical therapy, whether you go to a chiropractor, whether you go to a doctor, when you have an injury and you start using the other leg more than you should, it'll give out because it can't, you know, take the whatever. So, but more focus on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think when I was driving in this morning, I was thinking to myself, because sports always seem to kind of even themselves out way it may be, whether it is, you know, you're a player, or whether you're a hitter in baseball, whether you're a quarterback in football, whether you're a team or a franchise in football, you look at what the Chiefs have done, and it was last year they won all of their games in one-score games, what went like 12-0 in one-score games. Mm-hmm. A lot of that doesn't happen. And I think what the problem is, what we're seeing is you had one drastic anomaly. And then now this year you have another drastic anomaly. 1-6 in one score games this year, 11 or 12-0 last year. What that is it's evened itself out on two obscure sides. Like last year, the blocked field goal, the missed snap, Jamar Chase, Isaiah Likely's foot.
Right.
Those are four wins you won, right? This year, one win in a one score game and five losses or six losses. But if you put that together, right, you're still 13-6 in one-score games.
Yeah.
So perspective is, wow, this team can win one-score games. It's just unfortunate that last year you didn't lose any, and this year you won one. You put the two averages together, it's still a great number. But it goes back to, we knew going into this game what the recipe was going to be, right? They gave you flour, butter, and eggs and said, make a cake.
Right.
Well, you can make a cake, but you're going to miss, you know, some baking soda. You're going to miss some other stuff. And last night, first play of the game, Wanya Morris' knee goes out, hyperextended, whatever it was.
Yep.
And then Esipole was fantastic.
He was unbelievable last night. Esipole, man, hats off to you. That dude played last night.
Yeah,
man.
You'll see our Instagram videos later today where we'll give an MVP of the game. That's going to be mine. Maybe yours was Mahomes for having to do everything that he did. I know three interceptions, no touchdown. The pass rating was there. From my eyes and what I saw, he was good, but he wasn't great. You want him to be Superman. You want to see the quarterback do his thing. And again, you talk about things that, you know, work themselves out 8 years in a row where you've gone to at least the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, And this is the first year where maybe 10-7 is their record. A solid year, 3 wins above 500. But again, it averages itself out where it's like, here's the deal. You know, you're not going to go to the AFC Championship game every year, but we have. And right. We have seen this team do that. So the standards are obviously burned in time of a standard. And then last night, the fourth down call, especially when they came out of the locker room in the second half, there was no doubt about it. No matter what eyesight you have, you could tell that defense understood the assignment.
Yes, they said,
put pressure on CJ Stroud. He cannot handle the pressure. They did exactly that. And then Andy Reid, 4th-and-1 from your own, like, 25-yard line or whatever the hell it was, it doesn't matter.
4th-and-4?
4th-and-4 is what they went for?
No, they did after the 4th-and-1.
Yeah. The 4th-and-1 is when they were on, like, the 28-yard line.
Yeah, the 30-yard line.
And you could have punted it down. I mean, Arise has got the leg. You could put CJ Stroud back on the 10-yard line, and they didn't do that. On 3rd-and-6, they went for like a 60-yard heave downfield. Again, a punted interception. But they went for a huge play, which I didn't understand that either. And what I saw last night in the first half, at least on the videos that we do here on the Fan 96.5 with our Instagram stuff, there was no life from that team in the first half. And I understand that there was a catastrophic injury at the very beginning of the game, and I can only imagine what that does when you're already beaten and battered down. But there was no energy. There was no life in that first half. You were down 10-0. And then in the second half, the defense came out. Chris Jones was great last night. Mm-hmm. Karloftis finally played because Chris Jones was able to create pressures and get to the quarterback. And here we sit today, a 6-7 team, talking more problems than, you know, productivity in this game. And again, it goes back to your leader. And I don't know how many people noticed this last night. I know Twitter got a hold of it and kind of did their own spin on it. But you saw that fourth down run get called. And you saw Mahomes roll his eyes. Like, that is, when I watch sports, whether it's golf, basketball, football, baseball, whatever, part of what I watch is the emotional, you know, toll that players have, right? Like, we go back to the World Series when Matt Harvey didn't want to come out of the game, right? Like, that was a coach letting his player kind of dictate what his plan was. It didn't work out for the Mets or Matt Harvey the rest of his career. And you look at last night, the play gets called in, and Mahomes is like, this play again? And it goes back to what I was talking about. I think there is something that we're not being told or that we know. It's not our job to know that, but you can tell by emotions, by body language, by facial expressions, that there is some sort of communication riff with what plays are getting called in, what Mahomes likes to play. And at 30 years old, I think he's just kind of annoyed at what's been going on, and he wants a little bit more control. At least that's what I take away from it. And then you go for it on 4th-and-1. You give the Texans a ball. They score. Game's over.
Yeah, the game's over in that situation. But again, I mean, it comes down to the head coach making bad decisions. And in the last two games that they've lost, you can directly, you know, point back to Andy Reid punting when he shouldn't have punted and going for it when he shouldn't have gone for it and not really having a feel for the game. And that's what really upsets me. I look at it and I go, I don't think Andy Reid really had a feel for the game and what was going on last night. And him not punting and going for it, you know, on the first fourth down or whatever it was, is not hindsight to me. That was right in the moment when you have to understand the feel of the game and what your defense is doing. And they were playing great last night in the second half. And you gave them an opportunity that was horrible by going for it on fourth down and not getting it. And then even going back to the third down play, if you know it's four down territory, then on third down, you need to set yourself up for the opportunity to have a fourth and manageable type of situation. You need to play that as four down territory and call your plays accordingly. So on third down, you can get a couple of more yards instead of 4th-and-4. It's now, okay, 4th-and-2 or maybe 4th-and-1 because you played third down knowing that you were going to go for it. Going for it on fourth down seemed rushed. It didn't seem planned. It didn't seem normal. It seemed like they just thought of that at the moment. Like, they didn't make contingency plans that if they don't get it on third down, here's what we're going to do on fourth down. They played the third down play like they weren't going to go for it on fourth down. You have to set yourself up when you're in four down territory and make every play count. And they didn't do that on that third down play prior to going for it on fourth down. So the last couple of games, I just feel like Andy Reid just hasn't had a feel of the moment and what was going on at that moment in time. Because I think if he did, he doesn't punt against the Dallas Cowboys, and he sure as hell punched yesterday against the Houston Texans team where your defense was running the show. Instead, you give them the ball at the 30-yard line. They're already in field goal range. You didn't give your defense a chance in that game yesterday by going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, he needs a come-to-Jesus moment in the offseason about what he does, what his philosophies are, what the rhyme and reason is for fourth downs and going for it. How aggressive are you as a coach? Listen, the times have innovated. Things have changed. Are you going to? And that's a real question. If not, fine. Let's talk about it. If yes, great. Then let's talk about what that looks like. Because right now, he is all over the place. He's in his head. It is baffling. Last night was baffling. You did not read that situation. I don't want to hear Chris Collinsworth, well, it was actually 3% chance in the analytics. I don't give a rip.
No, they were all over Andy Reid for going for it in that spot.
Well, to be fair, Andy, you know, there was a plus 3% chance in the analytics on going for that, but I don't care, dude. Man. Read that. It was a 10-10 game. Your defense was electric last night.
And if you're going to go for it,
he lost the season.
Yeah, he did. No, Andy Reid lost the season for this team last night. There's no question about it. May have lost it in the Dallas game.
Yeah.
You know, by punting. And you know, look, but that right there is what this season has been about. Everybody who we've counted on to be good hasn't this year, other than like Travis, you know, and Mahomes at times. But other than that, I mean, we've counted on all these guys to be good. And our big time stars just haven't been to the level that we've needed them to be all season long, whether it's Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Harrison Butker, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo, Chris Jones, whoever the case may be. Everybody is culpable in this, and that's why this season is over. It's going to be time for a hard reset. Everybody needs to get away for a little bit. Everybody needs some time away. Everybody needs some time alone. And I really do think playing 9 seasons plus in 8 years has finally caught up to this team. They just look tired. They look slow. I thought I saw it again last night in the first half with this defense. Just a step slow, a day late, a dollar short in the first half on everything that they did last night.
Steven Spector's texting into the text line and says, Mahomes is looking a lot like Russell Wilson. So, Mac, jeez, I'll let you stew on that one for the
wait,
course.
Let's take your phone calls on that.
Ridiculous.
You got takes. Yeah,
Mahomes
seriously,
was
bring
amazing
your takes.
Last night.
Bring your takes today, man. I want to hear them.
Mahomes was amazing last night. That's Mac's take. We'll get to yours. Plus, we'll talk more of what happened this weekend. Fourth down, Andy Reid, Overreaction Monday, all upcoming next year at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City football.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This comes from Brandon Kiley, friend, former coworker. The Texans' drives in the second half before the Chiefs went for it on 4th and 1 from their own 31-yard line. 3 plays, -4. 3 plays, 2 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. 6 plays, 19 yards. Total plays, 18. Total yards, 17. Go for it.
Go for it. Yeah.
BBL stinky.
I mean, if that just doesn't scream go for it in that situation, I don't know what does.
Mm. Okay, Brian, you're on the phone. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I agree with Bob. I think the season's over. My comment is that if you look at Andy Reid's coaching career, such as in Philadelphia in around, you know, year 12 or 13, he lost total control of that team. And I think that's where we are at right now in Kansas City, I think year 12 or 13. And I like to say one other thing. Alex Smith needs to get into Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith are great friends, and Alex can make a big contribution to Patrick Mahomes.
I appreciate the phone call, Brian. Don't disagree with it. I just think Alex Smith has a life that he loves a lot, like right now.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, I'd see what Cliff Kingsbury's doing if you want to bring in all the friends and all that, because I think that is where we were going to go today for most of it, is that we are in that little, you know, time frame of a quarterback's career and of a head coach's career. Andy Reid obviously will be in Canton one day. We'll have the yellow jacket. We'll be one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's always, you know, not what have you done for me in the past, but what are you doing for me right now? And we give you the numbers that Kylie had brought up there, 17 total yards on 18 plays, and you went for it. Like, that looks like an old-school AFC North game last night. People were hitting, they were laying the wood. Chiefs. Hey, I mean, how about Watson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy,
yeah.
Stick and drive. Yep. Like, that is the definition of an NFL tackle right there. Rashi Rice gets exploded over the middle as well. A lot of hard-hit football going on last night. The defense understood the assignment in the second half. Andy Reid did not. And I think, honestly, and I will own this take, Andy Reid going for that fourth down was an egotistical move. I brought it up last night in the videos that we do on the Fan 96.5 on Instagram. That was an ego move. That was a, hey, I've got the best quarterback in the world. I have the greatest offensive mind in the world. I can get a yard. Watch this. It was a yard and a half. And you didn't get it. You didn't think about what you could happen if you didn't get it. And you saw what happened. 7 points. Game over. And you give your ball and to the defensive side and let them kind of make something happen where they had the most yards they'd given up was 19 in the last, what, five drives. The most yards they give up was 19 yards. You punt that ball back to, even if he kicks it in the end zone, they get the ball on the 25-yard line, and they go three and out. They go five plays, punt on the sixth. You're getting the ball back. There's no pressure. It's still a tie game. It's 10-10.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do it. It was an ego move. It was a coaching for your season type of move that failed enormously right in front of your eyes. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but those boos on the TV were pretty loud.
They were really loud last night, and I'm glad they were out there last night. This team deserved to get boos. And I know, again, macro versus micro. Macro is in the media, and what we're looking at right now, not good. Micro or macro, big picture thing, is really good. I mean, obviously, we're still in the middle of this whole thing. Overall, it's been an unbelievable ride. But micro, where we stand right now and looking at the minute and what's going on this season, has not been a good year. And you know, the whole going for it on the fourth down thing, to me, is, you know, you're right about that. We heard about it last week that Andy Reid would rather be more pretty than win a game and grind it out. We've talked about that. We've talked about that for years, is that they like to do the pretty. They like to do the magnificent. They like to fill the stat sheet. They like to make the highlight reels. And sometimes they forget that that's not what this game is all about. It's about getting the first down, picking up the first down, making the right calls, making the right plays. And those situations did not present itself. Yeah, it was an ego move, but if it was the save the season move for Andy Reid, then they should have been in the save the season mode a long time ago, not just in this game against the Houston Texans. It was almost like these guys did not pay attention all year to what was going on, and then woke up on Christmas Eve and went, so should we get presents this year? Because that's what this felt like yesterday. Like, leading up into this game, it didn't feel like this organization woke up and realize what was at stake. And then when they finally did wake up and realize what was at stake, it was way too far gone. And they were trying to do things that weren't going to help them win football games. In fact, it was going to cost them football games. And that was the bad decisions made by Andy Reid on the back-to-back fourth down plays. I mean, you're at your own 31-yard line, guys, and your defense has been playing like it's never played before, especially this season. And you have an opportunity with a great punter who's got that big leg to boot that thing back and play the field position game, and you chose not to at that point in time. I mean, I just think it was an irresponsible play call by Andy Reid. Malpractice. Yeah, no, it was. It was a malpractice type of play call by Andy Reid last night. And it was one that, as a head coach, your number one job is to put your team and your players in position to be successful. Andy Reid did not do that last night by going for it on that fourth down play. That's one where you just punt away, live to see another day, flip the field, change the field positioning of that game, let your defense continue to go out there and feast like they had been doing all third quarter long, playing their best quarter of the year, and you chose to go for it in that situation, basically just stabbing the balloon and taking all the helium and air out of it, not only for that game, but for your season as well. And that's why I'm so disappointed, because it was just such a terrible, out-of-character moment for Andy Reid for all these years here in Kansas City. When they were winning and doing great things, we never saw panic. We never saw these guys wilt under pressure. We saw them get stronger under pressure. And this year, it just didn't happen. They never were strong under pressure. They wilted every opportunity they had, from a playing standpoint, from a kicking standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. Everybody has wilted. And I think ultimately, when we look back on this season and people say, what went wrong? Like, everything went wrong this year. But what went wrong to me is that father time itself, tiredness, life, everything finally caught up to this team. And that's why we're sitting here right now. There's not one thing that went wrong this year. It's a series of things that went wrong, capped by poor coaching in big time moments.
You know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play.
How about Jason? What's Jason got to say? Go ahead, my man.
Hey, good morning, guys. Got a couple of things for you. I'll try to be quick. First thing, I mean, if you're going to go for it on fourth down like that, I don't understand why you don't run a play like what we've been successful all year, and that's give the ball to Kareem Hunt, who's been your fourth down specialist, you know, and get the one and a half yards you need in. Second comment I got for you is, now that I agree that the season's over, I hope Andy Reid doesn't figure it out at this point. I hope they keep playing like they do right now. Let's get a higher draft pick. Let's play a third place schedule next year, and let's reset this thing. That's all I got for you guys. I'll listen off the air.
Appreciate it, Jason. Thanks for the phone call. You can do that as well. 913-586-7965, because there are people out there that say, I just can't listen today.
Yeah.
No, you should listen today.
Today's the day where we all talk together, man.
Today is the day where it's the, you know, kumbaya. Like, this is send it off. What went wrong? What you think could be changing? Because I don't hate that from Jason. I mean, Mahomes had that knee pad on his knee during the breaks, like a heated pad. He's definitely got a limp. I mean, the offensive line, it's beat up, man. I mean, yeah, there's Esipola, who was good last night. But
look, I didn't think the offensive line was bad at all last night. I thought they put in a hell of an effort last night.
Yeah, because you've got people out there, and Mac, you can defend this. I don't think he was horrible. I just don't think he was amazing, if that makes sense, when you reference Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I thought he put the team on his back.
Sure,
I thought everything that the Chiefs did positively on offense was because of Patrick Mahomes. Like, he stiff-armed a defensive lineman to the ground. He ran past multiple people. He spins off Aziz Ansari for an extra yard to get it to fourth and one. Like, he just does everything. And I think, and I'm not saying this to you guys specifically, but I'll couple pretty much everyone in this, including me. I think we all take Patrick Mahomes for granted. I really, really do, here in Kansas City specifically, because we just get to watch him every Sunday. And I know other people watch other football games, but I'm telling you what, he was the best player in the world last night. And it was the only reason that they were even close to in that game. And despite Andy Reid, despite having eight drops, despite some of the O-line issues, which, Bob, I agree with you, given the circumstances and the four linemen.
I'm done blaming the O-line, though.
Saying they were good given the circumstances. Yeah. It wasn't perfect. Mahomes had to do a lot of improvising, a lot of scrambling, and he's the best at that. And I thought he was incredible last night.
I wonder, though, how much, Mac, and this is an answer we don't know, and I don't even know if they know that, to be honest with you, how much of that improvising and scrambling is necessary and how much of that is PTSD?
Throughout the season, it was PTSD. Yeah. Last night, I didn't think so.
Last night,
I thought it was all
necessary. And it's not just this season. It's been the last couple of seasons, you know, where the offensive line just hasn't been to that level where he can feel comfortable back there in that pocket. And so I wonder if he's at the point of his career where it doesn't matter who the offensive line is. His first kind of, you know, an initial reaction, if you will, is to try to get out of there, to try to flush himself out of the pocket, and to try to, you know, worry about that offensive line. Because I just don't think the offensive line has been really that much of an issue this year. I think at times, obviously, they haven't been perfect. But I thought last night, I thought that offensive line was as good as you could possibly get in that situation. You had 4/5 of your starting offensive line out of that game, and you had some gentleman named Esipola playing last night, who was an undrafted free agent that literally I didn't know until Friday when we went into the locker room, and I go, who's Esipola? And they're like, I have some backup lineman, and he played great last night. Like, if one thing came out of the game last night, you got your right tackle for next year, and that's Esipola, because he played brilliantly against one of the best defensive lines. I think at one point, the guy that he was going, who was he going against last night? I'm drawing a blank.
Daniel Hunter?
Was it Hunter that they showed that had only 4% of the snaps where he was doing anything last night, an all-time low for him in a game? Yeah, whoever he was going against one-on-one had like a 4% success rate last night, and it was an all-time career low they showed on the screen. I'm like, damn, that's Esipola going out there and neutralizing this Houston Texans line. But, you know, the fourth and one play, too, you're in shotgun. There's nobody in the backfield with Pat. Like, it was a malpractice play call. It wasn't the fact that the play and the decision was malpractice. The play call was malpractice as well.
Esipola held Danielle Hunter to one pressure on 21 matchups, and that pressure was after 4.2 seconds. That was amazing.
The guy played great last night.
Yeah.
Esipola was the best player on the field last night for the Chiefs.
Other than Mahomes,
I mean, he was just wildly awesome last night. I can't say enough about that guy.
Eight drops.
Eight drops is big.
And I don't count I think that was a great defensive play that broke up the touchdown to Thornton.
Yeah,
I'd have to watch it again.
It was
a great throw.
Yeah.
It was caught. It could have been caught, but the guy got his hand in the play.
It was a great defensive play.
It's not like it was Rashee Rice wide open and just dropped it.
Right.
Like, that's where I give credit to the drops. Like, that was just a drop, and you did it in Dallas. Rashee Rice has a drop problem.
I said that last week, and you guys told me I was living in the moment.
I mean,
yeah. No, it's official now. Yeah, I needed some more sample size.
I said the season was over 3 weeks ago, and you guys said I was living in the moment. So, I mean, things can change. And one thing that remains the same is that when you need a big catch, your wide receiver one who wears four, who came up with the slogan, everybody's going to eat, everybody's going to drop.
Yeah, he's not like, reliable.
He's not. You got to catch the ball. Like, that's why Mahomes' stats will look skewed. That's why Pro Football Focus will probably have him as the worst quarterback in the league after this past week. But the drops are killer. You know what that does. We talk about PTSD with the line. Mahomes has PTSD with dropped receivers. Like, I mean, you saw him on the ground, like, two-fisting like a toddler didn't get the toy in the mall.
Yeah.
And he's just pissed. Like, there's nothing else he could do. I don't think he was amazing. I think he was good enough to win that game. He was the best player on the offensive side outside of Esipole. And maybe, you know, there's a play, too. Like, and I think that vintage Mahomes, that play to Hollywood Brown over the middle, that's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
Yeah. That game last night, it was a little bit behind him. Look, I'm not mad about it. It was like a 50-yard gain. It was a huge play and catch. But, like, those were the things in the past where, like, that normally used to be a touchdown. But, again, times have changed. We will move on. This team will not make the playoffs this year. Now, they still can. There's still hope for those out there that want it.
There's not. You know, that's hope in one hand and poop in the other and see which one fills up first. And right. So I know there's a lot of diehards out there that are rubbing their Patrick Mahomes rosary beads this morning and saying you don't have a chance. And the sooner we can move on as an organization and start kind of having that cleansing is the better, because there's a lot of work that's going to need to be done this offseason, guys. I mean, there's a lot of players on this roster that maybe you want to bring back, maybe you don't want to bring back. You've got to find somebody that's going to be reliable for Patrick Mahomes, that he can truly count on to catch the football, because he doesn't have that guy right now. You know, obviously with Travis being where he is in his career, who knows if he's coming back next season, right? So who's going to be that reliable guy for Patrick Mahomes? You've got to find somebody that he can count on and he can believe in and he can trust. That guy doesn't exist right now. You got to get a running back. You got to get some more guys, probably, you know, depth wise now on your offensive line. The defensive line needs a total reboot. The linebackers need a total reboot. And I caution people as they watch the last few games of this year, this is now September and March baseball. Okay. Don't make your judgments based on what these guys do over the next couple of games in meaningless football games. Don't let what you've watched this entire year have your judgment clouded by a couple of meaningless football games the last couple of games of the season. Keep yourself convicted to what you've been watching for the first 14 weeks of the season, and let that tell the story of how the offseason needs to go here in Kansas City. I don't give a rip what they do the rest of the way. My decisions have been made based on what I've seen over the first 14 weeks, not what they do against, you know, some scrubs the rest of the way.
Let's get into an overreaction. It's 6:30 on a Monday. I guess I'll start. Pete Carroll is a piece of garbage. Pete Carroll should be investigated. Pete Carroll is a worse coach than that one dude in Gary Williams. He's worse than Sean Payton. He is the worst and lowest scum of the earth. That entire Raiders team needs to be investigated. Pete Carroll is a garbage bag. He went for a field goal down by 10 to go 3 points closer. You know what that 3 points did? Cover the spread, cover the over-under. You cannot tell me that Pete Carroll did not know what the lines were, did not know what the spreads were. Investigate the hell out of them. Class A throws balls in the dirt on the first pitch. He knew what he was doing. Chauncey Billups and those guys met a glasses during poker. Pete Carroll's worse. Pete Carroll seriously sucks. He gave Lindell White, whatever his name was, money to stay as a backup running back behind Reggie Bush so nobody could get him, and he had to stay at USC. There's another move. Pete Carroll left USC right before they were going to get sanctioned and told that they couldn't play in any meaningful games because of, well, illegal garbage. Didn't defend Reggie Bush when he lost his Heisman Trophy. Reggie Bush had to do it his damn self. Then goes to Seattle, wins the Super Bowl. That's great. not because of him, because his defense was amazing and because they destroyed Peyton Manning. Then what's he do? Plays the Patriots. Everybody says, oh, why didn't they run the ball to Marshawn Lynch? I'll tell you why. Because Pete Carroll had skin on the game. Because he's a garbage bag of a human being. Needs to be investigated. And then he comes to the Raiders. Where do the Raiders play, guys? In Vegas. What is Pete Carroll doing? Going to every sports book, looking at every line. How can I make this different? Oh, we have a chance to kick a field goal? You don't even have a chance to kick an onside kick. That made no sense. The only sense that it makes are the sense that he made collecting off the sports books. Pete Carroll, kiss my fat white ass and go to jail. Kiss my ass.
All right, I'll follow that. I don't know. We've already kind of talked about it, so I'll just kind of gloss over it. I'm sitting Mahomes the rest of the season. I mean, personally,
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I thought about that driving in today. Like,
yeah, that was my first thought last night. One of my first thoughts last night is like, yeah, I'm done for sure on that. And my other one would be Chris Jones played his way back last night into a high commodity trade piece. So that's awesome.
I like that you said that. Not back onto the team, but into a high commodity trade piece.
Nice trade piece.
You can foist him on Dallas, hopefully, this offseason and get some.
Him and Quinnen Williams. That'd be fun.
I mean, that's fine. Get him out of the AFC. You don't trade him to Jacksonville or someplace like that, obviously. You trade him to the NFC and see if you can't maximize that. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to trade players this offseason. Trent McDuffie, sorry, bro. Like the last 2 weeks for you, you ain't getting paid here. I look at him as now a high-quality trade piece. My overreaction, and I don't know if this is an overreaction, and we'll talk more about it coming up in the next segment. The bowl system in college football is officially over. We can finally say, ding-dong, the witch is dead. The bowl system in college football now is officially over. Notre Dame, K-State, Iowa State, for all different reasons, obviously, saying, eh, we're not going to go play in this game. We're finally getting what we want, the elimination of these useless bowls. But I think the bowl system now is officially dead in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, with the way that, you know, draft stocks can fall from injuries we've seen in the past where guys play these games, it really don't mean anything other than the fact that maybe if you're, like, the only thing I'm concerned with K-State, with the team saying we're not going to play it, are those guys that are like seniors, fifth-year seniors that stuck around, and now it's like, oh, I guess the four of us don't matter. Our season's over. It is what it is. The way that college football has structured itself, like Eli Drinkwitz said, we need to look past what the season looks like if you don't make the playoffs. Well, that's kind of the monster you've created in college football, and that's where we're at. Like, if they don't get in, they don't play. Like, you look at these games that are on right now or that will be played in the playoffs, they'll still play in bowl games. But if any of them lose, none of their players will play. Missouri's played Ohio State before in the Cotton Bowl or whatever. Nobody played for Ohio State. Missouri played Georgia. Nobody played for Georgia. Yeah, they're cool wins. You get bowl game wins, but they don't mean anything anymore.
Nope.
Because they don't have any value unless you're playing for the ultimate prize, and that's what it is.
It's just the Notre Dame thing, and we'll definitely get more into that one. That one is that is just cowardice on their part. So we'll talk more about that as the morning rolls along, because that was the biggest story yesterday, guys,
was
Notre Dame opting out in the immediate heat. Now, the interesting thing is now if people are talking about, like, you know, how ESPN is handling this thing because they own all the bowl games. Notre Dame was supposed to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which is on ABC, which is a bowl game that's owned by ESPN Events. If you look at the bowl games, I think, like, you know, all but like three of the non-playoff games are ESPN Events where they put them on. And so if nobody's playing in these games, then ESPN is going to start to lose money and maybe they'll cancel some of these things. But, you know, the bowl system in college football has been one of the biggest scams for the last 80 years. And now maybe it's coming to an end.
Coming up on the other side, we did some fun Friday after the show. We'll get into that, plus what Bobby just mentioned. It's all set up. College football playoff is there, and there's a new sheriff in town. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Tees football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
and Dusty.
Good.
Well, if you're gonna tell the story, right? And so, I'm not talking about you, the guy telling you the story. You got to have your details right, or otherwise it just doesn't.
I also asked, what's his job title? He says, I have no effing clue.
I know what he does, right? Nobody does. So,
right.
Hey, real quick, shout out. My daughter turned 16 today, so happy birthday. Nice. It's a big one today.
That's huge.
Very big.
Nice.
Happy birthday. I love you, Delaney, and I hope you have a wonderful day. We're going to take her out to a little bit of dinner tomorrow night, but or not tomorrow night, but tonight. Get some cake and all that kind of stuff. Ooh. And she officially becomes a real driver today. So that is the
A thing when you turn 16, you get your official license.
Yeah. I don't know how that all works. If she has to go down there and get that, or if this thing still counts as the official one. But whatever, you know, it's here. It's finally here. 16 years goes by in the blink of an eye, just like that. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm writing in her card last night. I started crying. I had to stop and put the card away. I couldn't do it anymore because, you know, you start to see, man, you only got 2 years left, and then you become a real adult. This time in 2 years, Delaney, the law can knock at the door. So make sure that you enjoy your last 2 years of being a legal child. But I love you. You're a beautiful daughter and do wonderful things. I'm proud of you, as proud as any dad can be. So have a wonderful day, sweetheart. I love you so much. And go out there and knock them dead and enjoy being 16. Big sweet 16 birthday this weekend, too. So
nice. That's going to be awesome.
For who?
For her.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, 16's a cool. 17 sucks. Like, 16 is a great birthday. 18 obviously is fantastic. And then, like, 17, 19, and 20.
17 for us in Jersey was when you got your license. So that was a big deal for us. But yeah, I get you. 17, there's really not much. What does 18 really offer you?
I was going to say, 18 wasn't 18, much for me.
Nah.
You're a legal adult.
Yeah. You can buy a, what, scratcher ticket?
That's about it. Yeah.
Can't even get tobacco anymore.
You can't. No, you can't do that anymore. Like, you're legal, but you're not. You can buy a scratcher ticket and go fight for the country, but you don't get any of the other benefits that come in with being an adult. Like,
can't rent a car.
Yeah, but you can't even really do that till you're 25.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, without paying exorbitant fees and whatnot. But why don't we just, like, limit it and change everything? Like, make everything either 18 or make everything 21. Like, becoming a legal adult should be one way or the other, man. Like, you know, if you can go fight for your country, you can have a damn beer. I know, and that's been the rallying cry for so long.
That's soapboxes.
But it's true.
No, it is.
It's true. So, like, 18 is kind of a weak birthday as well because you get to rub off a lottery ticket. Woo.
Well, I mean, there's other things as well. But, I mean, yeah, it's not what it used to be, right? Like, who cares about being able to go to a rated R film?
Yeah.
Like, I think I went to, like...
That's true.
I think I went
too.
To, like, one... I think it was like The Hangover, and they like checked everybody's IDs to get in the door, and they did it like three separate times. Oh, and one of my buddies like, they're going to check my ID again. I'm just going to leave. And boy, when we walked in and we saw the guy sit there, go, Cole's about to leave.
Yeah.
And they're like, everybody got their IDs? He goes, F this, I'm out. It takes this many times. He gets to check my ID. They've checked it twice.
Yeah.
How'd I get through two checkpoints before I had to get to the actual walk-in?
That's stricter than TSA, for God's
sake. I mean,
that was
straight up Independence AMC 20, baby. I'll tell you what, good days. After the movie was over, you go to Fazoli's, get some breadsticks and a water. Have a night.
Do they have R-rated movies out like that anymore? Because I remember like being a kid, like, ooh, an R-rated movie. That was a big deal at the time.
I would assume the new Margot Robbie movie is rated R after the previews that I saw. So,
hello, America.
You better believe it. Hello, Australia, by the way. did you guys, speaking of R-rated, you guys watch that KUMU game at noon on Sunday?
I watched a little bit of it back and forth. It was R-rated at the beginning. Nobody can make a shot. All it is just a three-point misfest for most of college basketball. That's kind of one of the biggest reasons why it turned me off years ago. Is all people do is launch threes and hit the back of the iron. That's not exciting.
They won, what, 80-60?
80-60 is what I saw. I didn't really catch any of it,
Darren
not going to lie.
Peterson is back. No, Red Zone was on.
Yeah,
Peterson played for hot. Terrible scheduling. Terrible scheduling for that game yesterday. I guess, with the World Cup announcement and everything else, I mean, maybe it was the only way they could shoehorn that game in. But I thought a terribly placed game yesterday. But, I mean, it wasn't much of a game. And, you know, the aesthetics of college basketball, they just still continue to have to get better. I mean, you turn on these games. And when I watch sports, I like watching guys do things that I can't do. College basketball players bricking shot after shot after shot. I watch that at the J most days when I'm, you know, exercising and the guys are playing, you know, down on the basketball floor. You hear clank, 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 clank. I get that for free, you know. Every day at the gym with the guys running the noon basketball game. I don't need that in college basketball. That's one of the things that kind of turned me off on the sport. It's not very good. It's not well played. So
shows you how much better the NBA is.
People it really does.
It'll play defense better. In the NBA. No, they're just really good at shooting the basketball.
Amazing. Yeah.
Anybody who complains and says the NBA isn't better than college basketball, number one, has never watched the NBA. Number two, people who say the NBA doesn't play defense, those folks also have never watched the NBA. I tell the story all the time. I sat courtside for the Spurs for 2 years covering that team. And both teams, whoever they were playing, and the Spurs, they all played defense.
I mean, yeah, they didn't play defense. God, 200 to 225.
That's exactly right, because those guys are so freaking good at what they do, and that's shooting the basketball, man. NBA players are just awesome.
Some big stuff for Delaney today. Can vote?
Legally, yeah, 18. 18 so
that's
can
a big
vote.
One. Yep. Yeah, it's a big one there.
Yep.
Speaking of votes, Notre Dame out, Miami in, and Indiana's the best team in college football, and what a world it is.
I mean, it's a crazy world when you really think about it. Texas Tech and Indiana are your two, like, basically your top two teams as of Saturday in college football, and they wouldn't be if you didn't have the NIL and where that is right now. And that's why I take such umbrage with Reese Davis yesterday talking about, you know, Cinzetti's pizza shop out there in Indiana creating the greatest turnaround in college football history. And, you know, he even said, with all due respect to Kansas State and Bill Snyder, I don't think so, man. And I didn't go to Kansas State, but I will defend what Bill Snyder did in Manhattan, Kansas, as the single greatest turnaround in college football history. Mm-hmm. Bill Snyder created a university that was going to get ready to go out of business and turned it around. He built a town. He built an airport in Manhattan, Kansas, and did all that because of the way that that football team went. And he did it in an era where there was no NIL and there was no, you know, portal and all this kind of stuff that Indiana is benefiting from right now. Bill Snyder had to do it the old-fashioned way, hard work and busting his ass and building a program and using the JUCO ranks and all of that kind of stuff. People continue to kind of take away from what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State University, and I hate that. And so when they were talking about Indiana being the greatest turnaround in college football history, and all due respect to Kansas State, no, what Kansas State and Bill Snyder did in the late 80s and early 90s is 1,000 times more impressive than what Indiana's doing. All these schools are showing, if you get the right money bags and crumble cookie, you can turn any program around on a dime. Bill Snyder didn't have that advantage when he took over Kansas State back in 1988-89.
Yeah, the Indiana thing is wild to me because, you know, seeing them be the best in the land, getting the number one overall seed in that tournament. Again, that's what, like you just mentioned, like that's what NIL has done. That's what times have changed have done. And now Cignetti can do whatever he wants. What does he want to, you know, be the Bill Self of Indiana football? Just, you know, have residency there, be the mayor of the town, have all that. There'll be a statue, I'm sure, if he gets to a successful point in the season. And we've got a couple of weeks until those games start to really pour off into the college football playoff. Obviously, Oregon will play James Madison, Alabama, Oklahoma. That's a good one. Tulane and Ole Miss are playing as well. So Miami gets in. Notre Dame, join a conference.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get it. People are going to say, that's easier said than done. But, I mean, that joining conference.
Right, yeah.
And also, you lost to Miami.
You lost head-to-head. Like, I don't understand
three
this.
3.5 months ago, by 1 point, they also played four top 25 teams to Miami's one. So if you reschedule that game to just a normal opponent, both those games, Miami has the same record, and Notre Dame has one loss. So Notre Dame is going to get penalized for scheduling harder opponents than Miami did. By the way, they're in a conference. Notre Dame is, by themselves, scheduling a tougher schedule without the conference. So you can argue about the conference. By the way, all the teams in the semifinal, both the teams in the championship last year, none of them won their conference. None of them. None of the final teams last year. So Notre Dame was the better team. They should have been in.
Well, they lost the head-to-head matchup, though. And we stressed
3.5 months ago. Yeah, but not, so that what? Doesn't mean who's better.
But we talk about head-to-head match. But you've got to have ways.
Chiefs lost to Jacksonville.
Yeah. And we kept saying the Chiefs are better than Jacksonville.
This is not standings. This is selections.
Yeah,
and selections suck.
And
for that reason,
Notre Dame have a bunch of people on the committee?
I don't know that to be true, but if that's the case.
And if they do, they recuse them from the conversation.
Exactly. They wouldn't be
in the room. But no, I mean, look, you lost the head-to-head, and we talk head-to-head all the time in sports. I mean, we talked about it week one when the Chiefs lost to the Clippers, and everybody's like, oh, you know, the head-to-head matchup, it matters. No, head-to-head matchup should matter. It's you versus them. It's 1v1. It's mano a mano. Like, that's the best way to determine things. And just because that game happened earlier in the year, oh, well, I mean, it happened, and Miami got the win, and that's why I'm not upset that Miami is in, and I'm with you. Join a conference, man, and not even join a conference. Like, the Big Ten and the ACC schools, stop scheduling Notre Dame, too. let Notre Dame have to go out there and play the UConns and the Armies and the Western Kentuckys and all of these schools. The Big Ten and the ACC, you don't need Notre Dame anymore. You don't need to be on TV. You don't need what Notre Dame is offering. Any legitimate program should be done scheduling Notre Dame, and that would force them to have to join a conference.
I just got a text from Mac's brother, Asher. It says, hey, just so you're aware, Mac was between Tennessee and Notre Dame for his college.
Yeah, right. No, I hate Notre Dame, but yeah, I'm on that side. Asher.
What do you want to see from Rob Ritten in this World Cup?
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think we need to see strong defense. We tend to give up too many goals historically. Mostly passion, right? At the end of the day, we have talented players. They know the game. But it seems like we walk in with maybe just a little loss of the edge when it comes to passion for the game and really giving it everything you got left in you. So
I love it. Bring the passion, damn it.
Nobody knows Rob Britton.
That's right. Nobody knew who Rob Britton was at the World Cup watch party.
I love that. That's so good. Oh, I'm a huge soccer fan. What do you think about Rob Britton, the new addition? Oh, I tell you, he's going to be
he's going to be huge.
He's going to be great.
Better bring passion. I don't know if he's talking about the Chiefs or if he's talking about Rob Britton in the World Cup roster.
I don't know, but like either way, like it's when you interview people and they just lie because they think they need to know the truth. It's a human flaw that we all have. We all do it no matter what the topic is. You want to fit in and feel like you know what you're talking about, but it's just it's so good that everyone's like, "Oh yeah, Rob Britton, let me tell you."
The best part was he had a guy, he goes, I'm going to be honest with you, because I said, what do you think about Rob Britton on this team, the new defensive addition? He goes, oh, man, to be honest with you, I don't really know anything about anybody. I just want to be here and enjoy the moment. I was like, thank you for your honesty.
At least you're honest. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Coming off, we'll be joined by Graham Zusis. He will talk about everything that involves Kansas City, this World Cup draw that we will see Argentina coming to Kansas City and possibly Ronaldo and Messi, what that means to the city, and Graham Zusis as well. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.